17:5, Luke 17:5. So we'll look at two verses with our eyes, but I'll read several others throughout this sermon, as I normally do. I'd like to basically load it up with Scripture so you're seeing that it's not just me saying it, it's the Word of God saying it. And if it says it, then we ought to do it. But this morning, I had an enjoyable time preaching on how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we're going to teach on another, familiar word, just like this morning. That was one of those easier said than done sermons. It makes sense to us, spiritually speaking. You know, okay, I'm saved. I ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I ought to please Him, things like that. But we saw that, basically, if we're full of the Holy Spirit, there's no room for bad stuff to get in there. And things that might hinder us or weaken our Christian growth and things like that or cause us to stumble. But if you're full of the Holy Spirit, there's no room for that and so forth. And so tonight we're going to preach a sermon or have maybe a little Bible study a little bit on how to increase our faith. And so again, we saw this morning that when you get saved, you got all of the Spirit. Maybe as you grow, He gets all of you. Same thing here. Our faith is religion in a nutshell, what we believe in a nutshell, how we're supposed to live by faith in a nutshell, things like that. But we ought to increase that, just like we ought to have the Holy Spirit, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight we're going to look at how to increase our faith, to get more of it. And of course, Romans 10:17, very familiar verse. It says, "So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So if we want to increase something, we got to look at the Word of God and see. And it says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so there's verses that pop into my mind like, "That from a child I have known the Holy Scriptures." So if a parent is training up a child in the way he should go, so when he's old he won't depart from it. If they're doing the right thing, they're putting the Word of God in them. It's more important that they know things about this Bible. I would say more important that they ought to know who Jesus is and maybe His apostles and Bible characters than they do sports figures. All right? Don't throw anything at me. I'm a sports fanatic. I played them all. I love them all. I watch them all. I cheer for them all. But I try to keep it in perspective. I don't want to put it above God. And I had to make that own decision in my own life. Do I follow my dreams or what I think I would like, or do I need to find out what God created me for? And I had to choose. And praise the Lord, I got to play them all, and I enjoyed that. But if a parent's doing the right thing for his child, it'll be a balanced thing. It won't be like, you know, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and Michael Jordan, and I can't remember any of the other ones. But anyway, but it ought to be like Jesus and John the Baptist and so on and so forth. It ought to be both. And again, if you like history, throw some history in there. If you like any other thing, put it in there. But same thing here. What increases our knowledge about sports is watching it, playing it, reading about it, hearing stories about it, things like that. That's what it increases our knowledge about it. That's what my youngest son right now, he is playing t-ball. It's an instructional league, and it frustrates him to death when his teammates are just looking at the clouds, looking for four-leaf clovers. The ball comes out there, and they're like, "Oh, he's like, oh, get it!" And why? He wants to win. and I get that, and that's a good thing. And so, whatsoever your hand finds to do, even baseball, you know, play at your hardest. But anyway, I asked Jason. I was like, "There's not anybody out there saying, okay, hey, four-leaf clover, dude. Okay, if the ball comes to you, where are you going to go with it?" Exactly. Focus. All right. And look right here and things like that. So that's how you increase, by doing something, studying it, things like that. So same thing with faith. We're not just going to grow in our faith. We're not just going to, osmosis, lay the Bible on our head. I tried it. It doesn't work. You have to study. You have to hear. You have to increase. And so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it doesn't matter if it's read silently. You can hear it that way. Read maybe in your car, Alexander Scorby or Mufasa or whoever you want to listen to. Listen to the Word of God. and things like that, or hear it preached, hear it taught in Sunday school, that's what's going to increase our faith. So a couple things here in the introduction. The Bible says that there's only one way to please God. There's only one way. I'm here at church. I hope that's pleasing to Him. I try to read my Bible every day. I hope that's pleasing to Him. I try to live the way the Bible tells me to live. I hope that's pleasing to Him. But according to the Bible, it says here, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I have to have it, because I can go to church 24/7, and I can read the Bible 24/7, and I could live like a Christian 24/7. But if I'm not doing that in faith, God is not pleased. It says here, it is impossible. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So I'm doing what I'm doing by faith, so God will reward me and bless me and cause things to go well for me. But I have to do that by faith. Because I can't see God that is seeing me, but I can believe it by faith, because the Bible says all things are open unto God. And He sees the good and the evil. He can see that. So by faith, I know that He's watching. So I want to put into practice my faith and please Him by the way I live. So first statement was this. The Bible says the only way to please God is by faith. Second introductory statement is this. We must be saved by faith and then continuing living by faith. It's just plain as day in the Bible. Just like we saw this morning, we get filled with the Holy Spirit when we get saved, and we get indwelt with the Holy Spirit when we get saved. But again, as we grow and let it fill us up, same way with faith. We get saved by faith, and we continue to live by faith. Galatians 2:20, it says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith. So, of course, Paul is talking to the church at Galatia, and he's telling them, look, I used to live wicked. I used to live in my flesh. I used to do what I wanted to do. But now, I've been crucified with Christ. Now I'm living today. I live by faith. And anything that happens good in my life, it's because Jesus is in me. And I'm living by faith to do that. And then it goes on to say, I live by faith of the Son of God, whom loved me and gave Himself for me. So, first statement was this, the only way to please God is by faith. Second statement was this, you get saved and continue to live by faith. Third statement, we walk by faith and not by sight. Of course, we've all heard that statement. We walk by faith and not by sight. If you can see it, that's not having faith in it. We can't see God, but we believe He is by faith. So 1 Timothy 6, 9-12 says this, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. So they're not living by faith. They're living by, I got to have more money. I got to have what I want. I've got to have stuff, more stuff, just like the man in the Bible. He wanted to tear his barns down, bigger ones, so he could get more stuff. That person is going to fall into temptation and a snare. And it says here, and many foolish and hurtful lusts. So again, if we're living by, I got to have, and I'm not content, and I have to have more, we're going to fall into those temptations. We're going to fall into harmful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10 says this, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they that err from the faith. And so, of course, we see that if we're living by faith, that's pleasing God. But the devil is going to be like trying to get our attention out here. I'm living by faith, and then there's a, I got to see it. I got to have this. I got to get a new one of those. This is the only thing that's going to make me happy. I will not be happy until I get it. So we just left our faith. And that's not pleasing to God. And that's what he's saying. If we're going to please God, we can't err from the faith. And it says here, pierced himself through with many sorrows. And that's what happened. Obviously, the prodigal son was probably doing right, doing what his dad told him to do, doing his chores, pleasing God, things like that. And of course, he heard about something in the far country. Then he looked up, I've got to go over there. And so he went over there and realized when he came to himself that he had erred. And he says, the only way that I can make this right if I get back to that path. And so he wanted to come back and live by faith. So all the principles in the Bible, you see this. So it pierced him through and with many sorrows. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. And this is a similar list that we read this morning about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, Fight the good fight of faith. So introduction, we see here that the only way to please God is by faith. We have to be saved and live by faith. And then we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we are to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, we're going to have to do it by faith. A couple other verses. 1 John 5:4 says this, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And so the world and its philosophy, our flesh and our desires, and even the devil himself is going to try to keep you from living by faith. But how do you have victory over the world? How do you have victory over your own flesh? How do you have victory over the devil? By faith. 1 John 5:4. Mark 11:22 says this, "And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God." So when Jesus was down here on the earth and he was talking to the disciples, he was talking to the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these that recorded there, that was one of his sayings, saying, hey, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Luke 17:5, we have that mark there. Well, now we'll read it. And this is the title of the sermon, Increase Our Faith. And so they had heard Jesus say, hey, you're going to have faith in God. You're going to have faith in God. And the apostles in Luke 17:5 finally said, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And so we saw this morning, if we were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that was one of the contingencies. You had to ask for it. You had to believe, and you had to thirst, but then you had to ask. And so here, these guys, they found that out, and they were like, hey, Jesus, please increase our faith. And of course, there's verses in the Bible that, you know, help my belief, but then help my unbelief. So we have to battle it. Sometimes when we hear the Word of God, you've heard preachers say this, I had so much faith and I was so excited about the Word of God, things like that, I would charge hell with a squirt gun. And then, of course, you know, we get up on the wrong side of the bed the next day and our faith is gone. We can't do anything and so forth. So we're going to have to battle that. So we have to ask God. Hebrews 11:1 says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And of course, we know Hebrews 11 as the great hall of faith and all these people that were in there. There were some that were what we consider great Christians that had faith. Then there were some in there that were pretty much great sinners. Rahab the harlot. But then it said by faith, Rahab. And so she had gotten right with the Lord, gotten saved and helped hide the people of God and things like that. And of course, when the walls came down, her part stayed up by faith. And so we see that God used faith in all of their lives. And there was over 17 different people in that said, by faith, this person, and by faith, this person. And so they all heard the Word of God and it increased. They all asked God to increase it and it was increased. So how to increase our faith? Number one, believe God for it. Believe God for it. A parent, when he tells his kid, you know, I will do this for you, I will buy that for you, I will protect you, I will feed you, I will supply this, I'll supply, that's all the kid needs. They heard mom and dad say it. And those of you that are mom and dads, if you ever said that you would do something and all of a sudden you couldn't, they're going to remind you, you said we could get ice cream after church. All right, you said we were going to. I ran out of time. We don't have the money this week to do it. We'll do it next week. You said, they're going to drive it home. Why? Because they heard you say it. And so that's what God's saying. Hey, I've said all 66 of these books to you. I don't care if you remind me of it. Bring it to my attention. Hey, God, you said you were no respecter of persons. Hey, God, you delivered this person from that. Hey, here I am. And he doesn't mind you calling. Now, I don't know that you ought to have an attitude with the hand on the hip. Mom, you said. You better turn that little finger around or I'm going to break it off. You don't come to him that way, but you come, say, by faith. And so we believe God for it. So we're going to look at a couple things underneath that one. Number one, or A underneath number one, says here, when you believe God for it, it will be seen. It's a promise in the Bible. If you believe God for it, it will be seen. Luke 5:20. It says here, and when he saw their faith, he said unto the men, thy sins, or unto the man, thy sins be forgiven. Now, Luke 5:20 is talking about the four guys that, you know, saw this man sick with a palsy, could not carry himself, could not get to Jesus by himself. So they grabbed his bed, they took him over. Hey, we hear Jesus is going to be preaching down at this church or this house, and we're going to take him down there to get him healed and so forth. So they get there, you know the story. They can't get in. It's packed out. Kind of like last night, trying to move around with all those people. And they're like, hey, let's go on the roof. And I'm sure the person that owned the house really appreciated their faith. But they started ripping shingles off. And ripping the felt and things like that down to the wood, if they had all that back then. And they ripped the roof off and they lowered him down. And Jesus saw their faith. So as soon as Jesus saw their faith, he did what they wanted to do. So that's what he's saying. You put your faith in me. And when I see it, then I'll do what you want me to do. So but we have to put that faith in it. I don't understand it. Didn't say we had to understand it. I don't see how it's going to happen. Didn't say we had to see how it's happened. He just said, have faith in God. And these guys, they didn't go down there and this is exactly what Jesus is going to do, and this is what he's going to say, and this this is what's going to take place. No. They just heard he was healing people, and they're like, well, you know, if he's healing people, he needs to heal this guy. Let's get him down there. And so when Jesus saw their faith, he said, saw the faith of those four men, he told that one man, be healed. So when he sees it, he will do it. And the second thing underneath that, faith can fail, but Jesus is praying for us. Luke 22:32. Faith can fail. Anybody that's really good at something, they have confidence in it, they can still make a mistake. A good baseball player. I mean, if you're batting over 300, that's awesome. But if you do the math, it doesn't sound very awesome. A guy that shoots, if he's shooting behind the three-point line, if he's shooting 33%, the dude's awesome. And he's missing way more than he's making. That's just percentage-wise. Faith can fail. And that's what he says right here in Luke 22:32. It says here, this is what Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So we saw a couple weeks ago in Sunday school that Jesus prayed for us when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for us. Then the Bible says that now he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. He's praying for us today. And so same thing here. He looks down and sees us trying to live by faith. And he says, you know, with the circumstances that they're facing and with the situation that they're going through, there's a possibility that their faith is going to fail. So you know what I'm going to do for them? I'm going to pray for them. And again, it's just like, you know, grandmothers, I think they have a good inroad with God because my grandmother prayed for me and God didn't leave me alone. He chased me all around and got me right with Him. Why? Because I had a granny that would not stop praying. And of course, Jesus, I think He's just right there on the right hand of God. He's got His ear all the time. And so this ought to give us confidence. But it says here that, hey, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. So believe God, and when He sees your faith, He will do it. Believe this, that Jesus is praying for you. Third thing underneath believe God is this. Not only can faith fail, faith can be misplaced. All right? It can fail, but it can also be misplaced. We have it. The Bible says that He gave us all that measure of faith. Nobody's without that measure of faith. Now, it can be increased, and it can fail, but it also can be misplaced. Faith can be misplaced. It's kind of like this. The Bible even says in the book of Proverbs, you know, if you're trusting in an unfaithful man, it's like your foot's out of joint and it's like you got smoke in your eyes. And of course, I'm paraphrasing. And there's nothing worse than a foot out of joint. I guess there probably is. But I mean, it bothers you. You want it to work right and it won't work right. And of course, some of you are that attractant. If somebody is doing s'mores and they got a fire outside, they don't want to sit by you. Why? Because every time, wherever you go, that's where the smoke's going. I mean, you can get up, fold your chair up, move around on the other side, unfold it, set back down, and here it comes. And it aggravates you because that smoke is in your eyes. And like, okay, just get away from Brother So-and-so because that's where the smoke's going to be. But anyway, faith can be misplaced. You can put it in the wrong people. There's people out there today that their faith is not strong. And some so-called friends, hey, just follow me, I got you. I'll take care of you. People get misled. People get taken advantage of. People get abused and things like that. Why? Because they put faith in people. And again, I think we ought to be the right kind of friend that people could put faith in us. But I say, hey, look, just bypass me and put it in Him. Because He'll never fail you. Okay? And so I want to be the right kind of encouragement and right thing, but a lot of times faith can be placed in people and it's misplaced faith. Here's another one. You can put it in surroundings. You can put it in surroundings. A lot of times we're comfortable at home. Maybe even in the house, we're more comfortable in our room, and that's where we want to stay 24/7. We're comfortable with our surroundings. If I can just get there, or if I can just get in my bed, or if I can just get in my chair, if I can just get, and we put that faith, but again, that's putting it in the wrong place. Yes, we're comfortable there, but those surroundings is not going to answer our prayer. Those surroundings are not going to bless us like God can. We can be another place that we can misplace faith is in our bank account. Again, it can go like that. A couple hospital visits and it could be depleted and so forth. Don't put money or faith in money. Faith in our job. I appreciate the job and I appreciate what the job allows me to do for my family, but I need to have faith in God that gave me that job because it could just go right out. It could be, we're going to have to let so many people go, and you're one of them. But I had my faith in this. This was going to be my future. This was what was going to set me up. I need to have faith in God, not the place of employment. A lot of people, they have faith in their social standing. And again, I'm not very sociable as far as that goes. I will talk your ear off. Okay, I like face-to-face stuff. I don't do very good. My thumbs are too big. I an autocorrect ticks me off, gets me in the flesh. I didn't say that! But anyway, so I'm not very good at that. And I don't have all that listing stuff. My status is this, and this is what I don't know how to do all that stuff. But a lot of people, that's what they put. If I could just get this many followers, I would be there. And if I was depending on that, my faith would be failing. Because I don't know that I have any followers. All right, because I'm not on any of that stuff. But they're putting their faith in their social status. So and so they did this and they became millionaires. Yeah. People like wackadoos. What can I say? But anyway, here's another one. And this sounds good. Don't put your faith in a religion. Okay, put your faith in a person. Okay, a religion out there will fail you. Don't put your faith in a religion. It can be misplaced. Here's another one, a non-biblical advice. That'll always mess you up. Well, my Aunt Susie, she said she read this book one time. And that's too many avenues. I'm just going to put my faith in this one. Don't put it in non-biblical advice. I heard and I read and I saw a video on it and this, that, and that. I'm going to put my faith. I wouldn't do that. You can be misplaced. Here's another one. Misplaced faith in your doctor. Okay? I'm glad that they know their stuff. I'm glad they know they can carve on me and sew me back up. I'm glad. But I promise you this. If I'm going to have any type of surgery, I'm putting more faith in God keeping me alive than I am that doctor. Now, I'll tell him I appreciate it. I'm glad you went to school. I'm glad you learned to do those robots, and I appreciate your knowledge. But my dependency is on him that I leave this hospital. And if you want to be the instrument in his hands, I'll be glad for God to bless you. But I'm just telling you. And the good ones will tell you that. They'll say, that's what I'm trusting in too. Life is life, and I don't tend to think I know it and how to fix it. I'm trusting, and they'll say something like a higher power or things like that sometimes so they don't get in trouble. But anyway, have faith. Don't misplace your faith. So it should be placed in God and His Word. And when you do that, I'll use these couple of examples. It brings a freshness. All right, that's a trendy word out there today, freshness. They want to bring freshness to your house. You need a new coat of paint. You need a new pillow on the sofa. You want to freshen it up. We need to freshen our relationship up. All right. Instead of going to this restaurant, let's go to this. Let's just mix it up. We need some freshness in our relationship. Freshness. But if we have faith in God, that freshness will be new every morning. It'll be there. It'll be a daily freshness. And old things will be passed away. All things will become new. So again, some of these philosophies are good. We just need to have God at the center of them, that freshness. Here's another one. If you have faith in God, it brings vitality. Vitality. It'll give you that strength that you need. I'd rather have faith in God than a one-a-day man vitamin. Now, if you want to do both, that's great. Fine. But I'm trusting in God to bring that vitality and to help me with my daily task and to help me serve Him for decades, that vitality. Another thing about faith, it'll bring that vigor, excitement. I don't like statements like this, and my boys, you know, they'll finish it for me, you know, because both of them are talented in singing and things like that, and they would say something like that. Well, I got to sing in teen church this morning. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh yeah, Dad, I know. I get to sing in teen church this morning. All right, and that's the way faith does. Faith is not, well, I got to serve God, or I got to go to church, or I got to pass out this tract. No, faith is I get to. And it's fresh and it's vital and it brings that vigor and we'll have that excitement. And you know what faith kills? It kills worry. You can't have both. I've been in some dangerous situations with storms. I remember we were flying to Vegas one time on the plane, not to gamble, but to preach. I was going to preach at a church out there. And what did we drop? Like 30 feet? Worst, what do you call those things that shake the plane? Turbulence? Worst ones ever. I mean, we just was like here and dropped like 20 or 30 feet. I mean, the whole plane, rah! And I thought those things were going to pop out of the ceiling and we were going to be able to do all this stuff and, you know, what all they tell you to do. But anyway, I was trying to remember what she said because I was sleeping. But, it's spooky. But again, when you have faith in God, it just kills worry. And again, the way I look at it, if that was my time, it didn't matter what the pilot did. I was going to heaven and so forth. So faith kills worry. Nobody can have faith in God and worry at the same time. Just put your faith in God. Faith claims God's promises. You know, there's 3,200 and something promises in this book. I mean, 3,200. And we can claim them all. Just like I told you a while ago, Mom, you said we were going to go get ice cream. God, you said 3,200 times that you would do this. And I'm just going to put my faith in you. We can claim those things. Faith also counts on the presence of God. And that book says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so, I mean, He's right here. The Bible says where two or three are gathered, He's in the midst. So I have by faith, God's right here with us. I can count on that. John 15:7 says this, if I abide in Him, or if you abide in Me and My words in you, ye shall ask what I will, and it shall be done unto you. There's a promise. That's one of those 3,200. And again, there's some things that are predicated on our behavior. If you abide in Me, not if you're doing your own thing, if you're out in the world, if you're living for the flesh, then we don't have that promise. But if you abide in Me, and My words, I've hidden this heart, so I won't sin against Him. If My words abide in you, then you shall ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you. So we have that promise. So Matthew 28:20 says this, lo, I am with you always, even until the ends of the world. So here's some promises. God's going to be right here. We just have to believe God for it. And last one underneath that, Philippians 4:19 says this, but My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. So how to increase our faith? Believe God. Secondly, and we talked about this morning, asking for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You got to ask for faith. And Luke 17:5, we've already read it, and the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. And so again, just like I was saying this morning, as a preacher, a pastor, even a Christian, we ought to have those things. God, I need your wisdom today. The Bible says in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And then this morning we heard, hey, God, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we ought to ask Him daily, several times a day, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Same thing here. God, increase my faith. Help me to have faith. In verse 6, if you're still there, He says, hey, I will increase your faith. And I'm just letting you know, and He told them here in verse 6, if you just had faith of a grain of mustard seed, not a whole mustard seed, but a little piece of grain of that mustard seed, if you could just have that much, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it would move. Just have faith in me. It's not us that causes it. It's not even our faith that causes it. It's who we have our faith in that causes it. And that's God. So just ask for it. God, do this. God, do that. James 4:2 says this, and ye have not because ye ask not. I mean, it's our responsibility. So how do I increase my faith? Believe God that He'll do it. Secondly, ask for it. Prayer will increase your faith. A prayer is an act of faith because you're talking to somebody that you can't see. But you're talking to Him. It's an act of faith. Prayer for faith will be answered because it's God's will that you have faith. And He says that you pray in my name and according to my will, I will answer it. Then we see under this one, we can have little faith or maybe what we would call baby faith. And of course, that's what Paul was talking to the church at Corinth about. You're baby Christians. You have baby belief and baby faith. Matthew 6:30 says, O ye of little faith. And so, of course, we have examples of little faith and baby faith and lack of faith and misplaced faith and all this kind of stuff. But the Corinthians, they showed that they had baby faith. Another example in the Bible, John Mark. He went on a missionary journey. So it took great faith to say yes to God. And I remember when I first started hearing about missions work and things like that, I was scared that God was going to call me to the mission field. Because just like most people, I thought it would be to the deepest, darkest, farthest out place, living in the jungle, swinging from vines and chopping snakes up with machetes and things like that. Oh, my goodness. But obviously, my faith has grown and I would go there if that's what God wanted me to do. But John Mark, he went on this missionary journey and his faith got misplaced or his faith waned or he had not enough faith and he went back. He went back and didn't finish out that work. Now, of course, we know he got right with the Lord later and they all got back together and they did a great work for God. But we need to ask God for mature faith, not little faith. And they were saying, increase my faith. And He said, if you'll just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can do this. But I want to have mature faith. I want to have as much faith as I can have. So how to have faith? Believe God for it. Number two, ask God for it. And then here's third, use it. Use it. If you say, God, give me it, and you got it, again, we're just not heaping it up. We're not hoarding it. We're not trying to hide it. No, we're going to use it. Use faith. And it's kind of like, you go in there and those kids that like mac and cheese, Mom, can I have 4 spoonfuls of mac and cheese? No, you can have 2 spoonfuls. But I want 4. And they would get told, well, you eat the first 2 spoonfuls and I'll give you some more. Why? Because they've seen plates with mac and cheese left all over it because your eyes were bigger than your stomach, that type of stuff. So again, we're not saying, hey, God, give me, give me, give me, give me. He's going to give it. And you use it, what's He going to do? He's going to give you some more. And you use it, what's He going to do? He's going to give you some more. Luke 5:4 says this, let down your nets. And if you read that whole story, they had been fishing all night long. And not the fun kind of fishing, where you're doing it with a rod and reel. I mean, they were doing the work kind of fishing. Dropping those nets and dragging them and cleaning them and scooping, things like that. And they said, we've toiled all night. And so, of course, their flesh was involved because they were tired. And they were aggravated because they were professionals and they hadn't caught anything. So all that came out and they were, maybe back talking a little bit, running off at the mouth. Lord, we fished all night. I mean, we've got trails drug in the bottom of this thing. There's not a place that our net has not touched. And we caught nothing. But then their faith kicked in. And what did they say? Nevertheless. So when we're going through a situation and we don't understand it, and we would definitely not have chosen it, and we're saying, God, I want you to do this. And He says, all right, this is what I want you to do. but we can't. I can't do that. I can't trust that. I can't make that work. But what we ought to say is, nevertheless, if that's what you say, that's what I'm going to do. And again, what happened? I mean, the biggest catch ever. Calling other boats, nets breaking everywhere. The best fish story ever. I mean, it was like, man, you should have seen that fish. It was this big. I'm not sure which side you're looking at, but it was this big. But they had the best fish story ever. Why? Because they said, nevertheless. They didn't say, man, yeah, we're super Christian. God said, drop it, let's drop it. No, they said, nevertheless. They didn't say, okay, we're gonna build a great family for God, and everybody in our family is going to be serving the Lord, and we're just going to turn this world upside down for Christ. No, but they said, you know, we don't have much to offer. Nevertheless, we're going to serve you with what we got. We can't figure it out. We're not the smartest Christians ever. We don't have it all together. I don't know why you called me. I don't know why you want me to do this. Nevertheless, that's the key. So we're seeing here, you know, if we're going to increase our faith, we got to believe God and He can give it to us. We got to ask Him to give it to us. And then our outlook on it maybe should be just nevertheless, whatever you say. That's what we're going to do. And then Joshua 1:9 says this, be strong and be and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so again, when we's like, hey, I don't see how this is going to work out. I just don't understand. I don't this. Nevertheless, this is what the Bible says. There's some things that my wife and I do and have done our whole life. We maybe not have a patent on it. We don't have it all figured out. And bless God, this is that. No, we just, Bible says that. Nevertheless, we're just going to do it. And God blesses. And then we see here, He says, be strong and of good courage. Joshua obviously had that faith. God said, do it. I mean, look at what He did with Moses. But now, it's just me. And He says that just like He was with Moses, He'll be with me. I don't have it all together like Moses did. I'm not a great leader like Moses was. But nevertheless, and God did great things. So use your faith, or it'll disappear. Use your faith for guidance in the darkest times. Use your faith for peace of heart. Fervency will come with an exercised faith. So faith gives us vision. We put aside our feelings, our grudges, our misunderstandings, and just use our faith. And so lastly, I have I don't know necessarily it's a poem, but it's just some statements by George Mueller. If you know who he was a great man of faith. And you read some of these people, and that's all they did. They've got a testimony of somebody being a great man of faith. That's all they did. They did just like the apostles, and they had the mindset, nevertheless. So George Mueller says this, faith is the eye which we are to look at Jesus. Faith is the eye by which we are to look at Jesus. It says here, a dimmed eye is still an eye. A weeping eye is still an eye. So look at Jesus. So again, it may be that these are crying. I don't understand, God, but I'm going to have faith in you. I can't quite see it. I don't see how the outcome. That's why it's called faith. Here's another one. Faith is the hand which you lay hold on Jesus. And of course, there's stories in the Bible where people, they just wanted to touch just the hem of His garment. And that, I'm dying with this disease. And if I don't get up there and touch Him, I will. And so when He got touched, who touched me? They said, Lord, there's people everywhere. How can we tell? He said, you know, somebody had the right mindset. If I could just touch Him, He will heal me. So that hand that we have is a hand that can reach out to Jesus. It may be a trembling hand, but it's still a hand. I don't know if I can do this. Nevertheless, I don't think I got what it takes. Nevertheless, so a believer whose heart trembles within him, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, I could be healed. Faith is also a tongue which is scared to speak, doesn't know what to say. But the Bible talks about how, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I just don't know. Nevertheless, I'm going to try it. And again, I remember whether it be quoting a verse in front of somebody in junior church, or quoting the Bible, names of the books of the Bible at camp in front of people. I didn't think I could do that. But I wanted to taste it, because they looked like they was enjoying it. And what God was doing for them, I want some of that. So my tongue wasn't as quick as theirs, wasn't as smooth as theirs, but I said, I got to have me a taste. So nevertheless, I may not can say it like they can say it. I may not can do it like they can do it, but this tongue is going to be used, nevertheless, to bring honor and glory to God. And that's what it is. So it may be a tongue-tied tongue. It may be a dyslexia tongue like I have. It may be any other excuse we might give. Nevertheless, what I got is going to be used for Him. He also said faith is a foot that can go to Jesus. It may be a lame foot, but it's still a foot. It may be a foot with a limp, and there's people in the Bible, they wrestle with God all night long, and they limp for the rest of their life, but they had faith in God. A foot is still a foot when it comes to putting its faith, saying, my next step is by faith, and my next step is by faith, and my next step is by faith. How do we increase our faith? Believe God can give it to you. Secondly, ask Him for it, and then when He gives it to you, use it. And if you do, He'll say, okay, I got some more for you. And you use that up, I got some more for you. That's how you increase your faith. Again, it's not I got more faith than you do. It's not a competition. All right, just believe that God can give it to you, ask Him for it, and then use what He gives you. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day, and thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, we thank You for this faith, this thing that we hope for. We can't see it. But Lord, we have to have it in You. And Lord, help us realize, Lord, the object is You. All these stories that we see in the Bible where they let down their nets. It wasn't the nets. It wasn't their fishing ability. It wasn't their boats. It was You. The people that got healed, it wasn't their knowledge. It was their faith in You. And so, Lord, help us to realize, Lord, all of us can have faith because that object that we have it in is You. Lord, help us to believe that. Lord, help us to ask You for it, and help us to use what You give us. Let's all stand. My wife's going to play. Altar's open if you'd like to pray. Ask God to increase your faith. Altar's open.